We are back on the SMU campus, something we really don't recognize from 30 years ago when Gerald Turner first got here. Something like 50 new buildings, an awful lot of work, and really a completely remade campus. But he's stepping down after 30 years and joins us right now. Yeah, it's good to be back on campus.
Well, good to have you back, David. It's been amazingly fast, those 30 years.
Boy, I don't know. I mean, I think there are a whole lot of people that have been supported tremendously by your efforts. And tell me where you started. I mean, one of the great things everybody's talking about now is having an undefeated football team.
That's
but
right.
You can't remake a school starting with a football team. They'd eviscerate you.
Well, they do, and it takes a long time. I mean, higher education is more incremental than it is, you know, totally revolutionary. And so as a result, anything you start out to do is going to take a while. And so as a result, we've had to go kind of step by step. And when I got here, the board wanted me to increase the quality of the student body and faculty and to reconnect with Dallas because we'd kind of drawn in and lost some of that connection. And also to kind of work on the athletic part of it. And so it's just taken
a while.
Well,
that's about a 50-year task they just laid out for you.
Yeah, I told him it would take, I said, for the academic part of it, it will take 3 campaigns to get where you want to go. And we've just finished our third one, and we're right where we had hoped to be at this time. And so, but it takes a long time. I told him right after that, I said, well, to get outstanding students, undergraduates, the easiest place to get them are in engineering and in pre-med. The worst facilities we had academically were in biology and in engineering. And so it took about 15 years to do 3 new engineering buildings. The first building that we did was the life sciences building. And Robert Debman said, now tell me why I'm doing a life sciences building. I said, because that's what your school needs, the Debman College of Arts and Sciences. I said, that's what you need. And so that's kind of how it's been done. Our friends, donors, trustees have responded to. They basically bought the image of what we were trying to say and that we needed. And here's how you implement it. And so they were willing to do it. It's been amazing to me how faithful so many of our alumni and trustees have been.
Bobby Lyle, a big
Bobby
supporter.
Lyle's
Rich Templeton,
one.
Of course, from Texas Instruments came through and saw the wisdom, you know, of the journey. But again, it's sort of a chicken or egg. I mean, on the one hand, you've got to have the students. And, and truth be known, 30 years ago, SMU was everybody's safe school.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not the primary. And it was not someplace where you're going to draw from Boston or anyplace else. But you got to have the facilities, but then in order to justify the facilities and work that 42-member board of yours.
Yes. You just have to do them both at the same time, really. Talk about students, scholarships, those kinds of things, and build the buildings while you're doing it. Interestingly enough, if you start a visible kind of improvement, like the Debman College biology building and others, quickly people start assuming that you're going to maintain that pace. The hardest thing is to get started. I mean, getting momentum is never easy, whether it's business, higher ed, or whatever. And once you get that momentum going, then you sure don't want to let it slack off.
But once you get the momentum going, I mean, it occurs to me there are a whole lot of people, especially around this area, that have dusted off their diplomas from SMU and are hanging them on the wall again, very proud to do it.
Yeah, thankfully, a lot of people have been coming forward on that. But now, you know, about 60% of our students are from out of state. And like you said, that one of the things the board wanted was us to be a national university, and we are now. And our students, the first year class is about the 95th centile. It was more like the 70th when I got here. And so faculty members, you get good faculty by having endowed chairs and professorships to name, for them to hold a named one. We had about 40 when I got here, and now we're 148, I believe it is, at the end of this campaign.
So why do they come from out of state? Why? I mean, they don't come from the mountains, and they don't come because to be close to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are in the center of the country, but that's something that corporate America seems to pay more attention to than a bunch of undergraduates.
Yeah. Dallas helps a lot. And the fact that we try to maintain a middle of the road, we try not to get caught up and involved with a lot of social things, movements where the conservative are liberal. And one of the things that helped us a lot was that in COVID, we had to close because we were told to by the authorities that COVID, we were closed from March the 13th till about May the 20th, opened back up, started having in-person classes in July. And by the fall, there were a lot of schools on the coast that were closed. And I just believe mentally that's terrible for students, really, to have to live in isolation at that age, because all they do is begin to live on social media, and that's a wicked place to live. And so we gave students an opportunity on the fall of 2000 to work from home, online, or to come to campus. 80% of them came to campus.
Really?
And there were not many that did it. The other thing is we had commencement for that spring, but I promised the students we'd do it in August when, again, the health authorities would let us. So we were out in Ford Stadium in August.
They got to really want to graduate.
They got to want to graduate.
In August.
Exactly,
you know,
right.
But maybe one of the other things that helped is one of the things that I really liked. You and I were talking, and it must have been, I don't know, 15 years ago. And you said, I'm going to build some new dorms, and I want all the freshmen and the sophomore to live on campus, mm-hmm. and I want to have some classes in there, and I'd like to get some of the faculty to live in there. And I said, that's where I grew up. That was my university, and I made lifelong friends that I still, 50 years later, still talk to.
That's really worked well. And the fact that we call them FERS, faculty in residence, and the big question was, can you get, because we had 11, residential commons. Can you get 11 faculty to want to live on campus? Because it's a 3-year term, basically, is what they're agreeing to. And we do interviews for it.
Really?
And because we usually have, we turn over about 3 or 4 a year, and we will have 20 faculty apply for it. Part of it is the Highland Park schools. If they live on campus.
Because they bring family, they have their families too. Because I was figuring maybe they were probably single people that would sign up.
There's some that are. It's either way. And we built the residence for the faculty to where they're about 1,700 square feet. And, they're supposed to interact with the students and have events for them in their home as well as out in the campus. And so it's worked out extremely well. And I just had a pair that have finished their term, and they told me that's the best experience they'd ever had is to live in with those students. Some people would drive them crazy, but they found a way to make it work for them, and they were a blessing to the students.
Yeah, but there's a bond. I mean, those people will still be talking 30 years from now.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You've raised over $3 billion. Mm-hmm. You built over 50 buildings, and you've done it during good times and bad times and lots of economic cycles, and many of them not very good economic cycles.
Yeah, we kicked off the second campaign, Unbridled, on the Friday in September of 2008 that Lehman Brothers fell on Monday. And so you talk about going from high to going, oh, my word. And so what we did was just tell people, look, you know what our major goals are in this campaign. And everybody knows right now you want to see how things are going to shake out. So just help us with some annual gifts this year and maybe next, and then we'll get back to what we were talking about. And so the fact that we didn't push anybody, but we still, kept the doors open and so on, and then they picked back up. And that was in our centennial was 11 for the founding, 15 for the opening, and the Bush Library opened in 13. So, all of us, the Bush Foundation, I'm a part of that, and a lot of, Ray Hunt headed up the fundraising. And they made that $300 million goal they had by 15, and now, of course, they've got $400 million in endowment and the building and a lease for 200 years for a dollar.
And that was another one of those things that you weren't too popular on campus for recruiting for the Bush. But those people
were
completely disappeared. They were loud, but they completely disappeared.
President Bush and Laura are just amazing how they like to interact with everybody. And we kept saying that once he's in, once he's out of office, the politics goes away, and then the importance of history and so on come in. And that's been the case. And he's not threatened if you disagree with him at all. And so from the very beginning, he had programs with both sides of any issue. And after, and frankly, everybody but one of those faculty has been involved with programs at the Bush mm-hmm. Center. And so very quickly that I'd seen that picture before because there were riots in Austin. I was in graduate school down there when they announced the LBJ Library is going to be there. And I mean riots. And now there'd be a riot if you tried to take it out. And so there's a faculty member who was there the same time I was. And so I could just say that, isn't that right? And he was courageous enough to say, yeah, that's right. That's right. And so I met with about all the faculty for 2.5 hours one time, and there were only about 6 questions, and just answered them every time I was asked, as if that was the first time it had been asked, and just stayed in there with them. And same message, New York Times is sitting out wanting to talk to faculty as they'd come out. Toward the end, there was about, 50 left in there. And from then on, there was very little complaint about it.
Well, not much to complain about on campus right now. And you even delivered a winning football team, which is one of those things that just, it's like icing on the cake.
First thing I said when I got here was, and went to my first football game down at the Cotton Bowl, this just doesn't work.
Yeah.
You can't recruit students, you can't sell your campus. And as beautiful as the bones of SMU were and so on, and I knew we were going to do the flowers, do the greenery, do everything, and architecturally we were going to have a very consistent architectural campus like any good private school usually starts out, and then they start letting architects come in and do their own ego. But we just knew we had to get them back. And so the people who needed to help helped, and we got to where we needed $20 million more, and that's when Jerry Ford said that he would make up the difference, your Pampa guy. And so, and he did, and we haven't, it's taken a long time to get out of that rut just from intercollegiate athletics and all the conference craziness. But thankfully, the idea of Dallas and the fact that Dallas is booming helps not only in recruiting those out-of-state kids and so on, but also it helps a lot in that effort.
Oh, I'm sure it does. But and like I say, I think this, as an educator, as a business person running a business, as you do, the sequencing was just about right. Like I say, probably not the place to start, but a great place to end. And it's been a remarkable 30 years. I know we're not losing you. You're still going to be around town.
I'll still be around.
I look forward to catching up with you. In fact, let's get together again. We'll look ahead at prospects for education.
All right. And you can come up to my new office here after June the 1st.
I look forward to it. Our Gerald Turner, the outgoing president of the Southern Methodist University. Thanks for the time many
You're
times.
Thank
for
you.
More of a conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.